Skip Heitzig warns us not to paint the early church in a glowing picture of perfection. Just like today, the church had its flaws, even in Paul's day.
You know, some people view the early church as if through stained glass windows, like it was some perfect, idealistic setting. It wasn't. They didn't float off the ground in Jerusalem. They didn't wear halos. They didn't speak to each other in the soft sanctuary tones, God bless you. It wasn't like that all the time.
Make the connection at the foot of the cross. Study the Word of God and find the way into His love. And take the time to read, for Jesus took the time.
Children don't always get along. Perhaps you've noticed that? They can be playing fine one moment and at each other's throat the next. And God's children aren't really all that different. Some may think that if there's anyone who should be able to get along well with each other, it's Christians. Sadly, that just isn't the case, and never has been. Today in The Connection, Skip Heitzig explores what happens when church leaders don't see eye to eye. But before we get started, if you haven't taken the time to contact us before, we'd like to encourage you to do that now. Just call 1-800-922-1888. And if it's your first time to do so, we'll send you a free teaching from Skip about thankfulness. Just a small way for us to show you our appreciation for taking the time to contact us and let us know you're listening. So to get your free teaching, call 1-800-922-1888 or write us at P.O. Box 95707, Albuquerque, New Mexico, 87199. You know, conflict doesn't always have to end in division. In fact, it can often encourage growth and maturity. And we'll find out how in today's study.
And make the connection.
Open your Bibles to Acts chapter 15, and as we get started with today's study, Skip Heitzig takes us on a painful stroll down memory lane.
Now, some of you will remember back to 1997 when a very famous fight took place that left bite marks. It was June when Evander Holyfield, Mike Tyson, took to each other in a very famous fight. When in the third round, Tyson decided to actually bite a chunk out of Holyfield's ear. He was not suspended at that moment. They went back at it again, and Tyson went for the left ear and actually took a chunk out of the ear and spit it across the ring. It was known as the bite fight after that. In the scriptures this morning, we look at a text in Acts chapter 15 that is an apostolic boxing match. It's between two very strong individuals who both love the Lord but disagree over a particular issue. Let me tell you a story about a disagreement. There were two friends. They loved each other, but they often argued with each other. One was a salesman, the other was a barber. The salesman would go to the barber to get his haircut. And on one occasion, when the salesman came into the barber shop, he announced that he was going to Rome. Well, the barber happened to be Italian, born in Italy, but very negative in his outlook, very disagreeable. And the barber said, "Rome is overrated. Is it too crowded? Is it too expensive?" And the man said, "Well, I'm planning to go anyway." Well, the barber said, "What hotel are you going to stay at and what airlines are you going to fly?" And the man told him, and once again, it was met with negativity. "That is the worst airlines ever. They're never on time. And the hotel, the worst service in Italy." He said, "You'd be better off staying home." The man said, "Well, I got to go. I'm going to close, I hope, a business deal in Italy. And Then I plan to see the Pope. The barber paused and said, first of all, Italy is the worst place to do business. Number two, you're going to see the Pope? The Pope only see important people. You're not important. 2 months later, the man was back in the barber shop. Big smile on his face. The barber asked what happened. The salesman said, sure enough, I went to Rome. The airline was great. The hotel was beautiful. Best service ever experienced. I closed the biggest and best business deal in my entire career. And I met the Pope. Well, the barber was taken back by this. He said, what happened? He said, I'll tell you what happened. I shook the Pope's hand, talked to him, and I bent down to kiss his ring. He said, you did? What did he say? He said, well, as I bent down to kiss his ring, he looked at my head. And he said, my son, where in the world did you ever get such a lousy haircut? And so the relationship was with these two friends. Well, how should a Christian handle conflict? What should a believer do when it comes to criticism? How do you get people to disagree agreeably? In Acts 15, there is a final paragraph that gives some insight into that, beginning in verse 36. But let me tell you this. The book of Acts is a story of a movement. It's a story that tells us how the gospel left Jerusalem and made it to the very heart of Rome itself. That's the theme of this book. It's the story of a movement. However, it's also the story about men, imperfect men, men who made mistakes, men and women who expressed their spirituality through imperfect personalities, all used by a perfect God. You know, some people view the early church as if through stained glass windows, like it was some perfect, idealistic setting. It wasn't. They didn't float off the ground in Jerusalem. They didn't wear halos. They didn't speak to each other in the soft sanctuary tones, God bless you. It wasn't like that all the time. And this paragraph will shatter any of those illusions. And it will tell you the truth. The Bible never flatters its own heroes. We have a very human moment, a conflict between an apostle named Paul and a godly, sweet individual, also known as an apostle in one of the sections of Acts, a man named Barnabas. Yet through it all, God is working. They disagree, but God is working. It was Dr. Bob Cook who once said, God reserves the right to use people who disagree with you. Can you buy into that? Can you accept that? Or do you kvetch over all those people who do disagree with you rather than just leaving it in God's hands? That God reserves the right to use people who disagree with you. Well, let's look at this paragraph, and we discover three things from it. We see a conflict that arises. The conflict leads to a confrontation. The confrontation has consequences, and all three are given to us here. So we're going to look at it in this respect. Let's look at round one, the conflict. Verse 36, then after some days, Paul said to Barnabas, let us now go back and visit our brethren in every city where we have preached the word of the Lord and see how they're doing. Now Barnabas was determined to take with them John called Mark. But Paul insisted that they should not take with them the one who had departed from them in Pamphylia and had not gone with them to the work. Here's the setting. The first missionary journey is over. Very successful. Jew and Gentile alike responded to the gospel message. It created such a fervor that they had to take it to Jerusalem to settle the debate, you remember, over the law versus grace. And all of that is now completed. The first missionary journey was successful. It's now over. It's now time, they believe, for trip number two. So Paul and Barnabas decide, let's go back over the same area and see how they're doing. So there's an agreement, first of all. There's an agreement on the importance of the trip. There's an agreement on the itinerary for the trip. There's an agreement as to the agenda of the trip. All of those things they are in agreement over. But there's a disagreement. The disagreement is not over the trip. The disagreement is over the team that will be on the trip. Who should be on the team? Barnabas says, well, let's take John Mark. Now, here's a little history. John Mark is related to Barnabas. He's the cousin of Barnabas. And he was on the first missionary journey. So it makes sense that one cousin wants to take the other cousin. Some think it's an uncle-nephew relationship. At any point, they're related. But Paul doesn't want him because, according to Paul, he left. Now, the record tells us in Acts chapter 13 that on their third stop in their first missionary journey at a place called Perga in Pamphylia, John Mark departed from them. This is Acts 13, verse 13. Departing from them, went back to Jerusalem. That's all we're told. We're not told why he went back to Jerusalem. Just that he left. We don't know if he was sick physically. We don't know if he was afraid of the persecution. We don't know if he missed mama back home. Whatever it was, he left. We're not told. Yet, Paul the Apostle seems to view this as a treacherous act, as desertion. Now, here's why, and follow me closely. Back in Acts 13, the word departed is used. That's Luke giving the information as to what happened. There was John Mark with Paul and Barnabas. They're ministering, and he decides to depart. And the word he uses is a very simple, straightforward word. It just simply means to leave or to depart. Apakoreo. He left. That's just giving the information. But now in chapter 15, Paul ascribes a motivation to it. Look at verse 38. Paul insisted that they should not take with them the one who had departed from them in Pamphylia. That's a strong word. Even though in English it's the same word, in Greek it's a different word. Aphistemi. It means to instigate a revolt or to desert someone. Whereas Luke gives the information as to what happened, Paul ascribes the motivation. He's trying to revolt against us. He deserted us. So there's a conflict. And you know what? Conflict is never fun. And the truth be told, we'd all love to avoid it all if we could. But there's a couple of basic, fundamental facts that are very obvious. Newsflash number one. People have conflict. Now, I know you're thinking, duh, right? That's so obvious. It's so obvious, but it needs to be stated. It's part of being a human being. The only people that don't have conflict are dead ones. Wherever there's a will, there's a won't. Walter Martin, when he was around here years ago, used to say, if you can find two people that agree on everything, one of them isn't thinking. So thinking people have opinions. And thinking people with opinions have those opinions based on a number of things, on certain facts that they have collected. It may not be the best opinion. They may not have all the facts, but nonetheless, they have an opinion. And so people have always had conflict. There's someone in your life, guaranteed, that you have a hard time getting along with. You have conflict with that person or persons. It's part of being human. It's like what Linus said to Charlie Brown in the Peanuts comic strip. I love the world. It's just the people I can't stand. That's the human condition. Not only do people have conflict, but let's press this a little further into the family of God. Spiritual people have conflict. People within the same spiritual family experience conflict. If you have a lot of children in your house, you know what that is. If you've ever gone on a vacation with your family, you know what that is. I don't know if your vacations were like mine, but when I was a boy, our vacations is pile everybody into the Rambler station wagon and go across the United States. Now that's a trial, folks. That's a conflict waiting to happen. We all pile into that car. We loved one another dearly. By the end of the trip, we had second thoughts as to our love for one another. Well, so it is with the family of God. And you can't select a section of Scripture where this doesn't come up. I'm going to give you a quick sampling, and this is just scraping the surface. But listen to some of the conflicts that are well known in the Bible. Genesis 13, Abraham's herdsmen have a conflict with Lot's herdsmen. They have to split and go in two different directions. Genesis 31, Jacob and his uncle Laban have a confrontation. Genesis 37, Joseph and his brothers have a conflict that ends Joseph up in an Egyptian prison. Joshua 22, 2.5 tribes that settled east of the Jordan built an altar at the Jordan, which almost caused a battle to ensue, where the rest of Israel decided, let's attack and destroy. 1 Kings chapter 12, Jeroboam and some of those in Israel have a confrontation with Rehoboam, the son of Solomon. The kingdom splits and is never united again. In Mark chapter 9, the disciples argue as to who will be the greatest in the kingdom of God. In John chapter 11, there's a disagreement between them about going up to Jerusalem. In Acts chapter 6, the church in Jerusalem has an argument and a disagreement about food distribution among the widows. Acts chapter 15, that momentous council about are you saved by circumcision and the law or grace? 1 Corinthians chapter 3, Paul writes to the Corinthian church about how much division is in that church. Strife, carnality. Now that's just in the Bible. Go through church history, and it seems to be even multiplied. You could even look at the Reformation. And people talk about the Reformation as this wonderful, great time where we rebelled against the organized religion and got back to the Bible. But did you know the reformers themselves disagreed on many points? Sometimes very severe conflict. So we learn that people disagree. It's part of the human condition. Spiritual people disagree even within our own family. Now, when that happens, sometimes it's carnal. Not always. Sometimes it's carnal and based on carnal motivation. And you know, I hope, that we have a common enemy who would take any disagreement between any person or persons and seek to fuel it to the level of carnality, even if he doesn't begin that way. As John Trapp used to say, the devil loves to fish in troubled waters. So he seeks to get the waters all churned up. Sometimes then the conflict is based on carnal motivations. Paul wrote to the Corinthians and he said, I could not speak to you as spiritual people, but as to carnal. For one says, I'm of Paul, and another says, I'm of Apollos, and another says, I'm of Cephas, and another one says, I'm of Christ. Are you not all carnal? You know about that situation in Corinth. They were pairing off into their favorite preachers, favorite teachers, and causing division in that common church at Corinth. And there was even a group that said, well, we don't follow Paul or Apollos or Cephas. We just follow Jesus. They were the worst group. Paul says, you're all carnal because of the division. And it's that carnal, unloving spirit that motivated the disciples who wanted to call down fire from heaven. It was that same carnal spirit that motivated the argument as to who'd be the greatest in the kingdom. It was that same carnal, unloving spirit that caused Joseph's brothers to want to sell him as a slave to the Egyptians. A few years ago, one of the most famous churches in the world had a huge, huge disagreement, and it was public. The church was called the Church of the Nativity. It's in Bethlehem. It is thought by some to be the very spot where Jesus Christ was born in Bethlehem. There's three rival churches that have laid claim to that church: Greek Orthodox, the Armenian Church, and the Roman Catholics. And there's been an ongoing debate as to who's in charge. Well, as time went on, the roof leaked, and repairs needed to be done. Then the argument was, who's responsible to fix the leak in the roof? And the whole debate changed as to who's responsible. Well, you guys say you're in charge of it, you fix it. Well, you guys say you fix it. And this thing became known all over the world. So what could have been easily managed became worldwide press. Listen to this news article. It's from the Fort Worth Star-Telegram. Now, it would seem that this article has nothing to do with this study, but it does. Firefighters in Genoa, Texas, have deliberately set over 40 destructive fires. Does that strike you as odd? Firefighters have started 40 destructive fires. When they were caught, this is what they stated: we had nothing to do. We just wanted to get the red lights flashing and the bells clanging. Hey, now wait a minute. Last time I checked, the job of firefighters is to put out fires, not to start them. And so too, part of the task of the Christian, who is called a peacemaker, isn't to start more conflict, but to help resolve it. So sometimes when there is a conflict, it is based on carnality. But at other times, it's not. You see, sometimes there's a conflict, and it's constructive conflict. And if it's constructive conflict, then the motivation is care. There is a time to fight, and the Bible says that. Especially when it's issues of doctrine versus false doctrine, where the false doctrine would undermine the very foundation and fabric of the church, the Christian is called to put up a good fight for the faith. Sometimes there's a disagreement. If you have the idea, I don't know if you do, but if you have the idea that your expectation is that all Christians on this earth are going to get together and join arms and sing love songs, I just got to tell you, you just described heaven, not earth.
It's simply unrealistic to expect Christians to see eye to eye all the time. The important thing isn't trying to avoid disagreements, but to make sure we handle disagreements in a wise and loving manner. And we'll explore more ways we can do that next time. But for now, if you haven't already picked up your copy of the new documentary Shattered, now would be a good time to do so. And here are all the details.
If you have children, you have challenges. That is not breaking news. And you know that it's only getting tougher to shepherd your flock. Families are under attack as media multiplies. Their messages are slick and sick.
A lot of it is very occultic, and a lot of it is extremely addictive.
Vampires leer from billboards and leap from movie screens and network shows. Games invite violent and occultic second lives. Boundaries are hard to draw, and reality is difficult to define when the web entangles teens with fantasy worlds and false identities. Shattered is a new full-length video documentary hosted by Skip Heitzig.
Is your teen choosing dark entertainment? Are you seeing a disturbing trend in your family that you aren't sure how to deal with?
Shattered puts the bright light of truth on the dark world of music, media, and gaming. Available at shatteredthedvd.com or call 1-800-922-1888. Shattered. Available now from Connection Communications.
Well, if you'd like a copy of today's study, we'd be happy to send you one in return for your donation of just $6. That includes shipping. Just call 1-800-922-1888 or visit connectionradio.org. We'll send you a copy on CD, and anything you can share above that suggested donation will help us continue to bring you these daily teachings in God's Word. The connection exists because of the generous support of its listeners. So give us a call at 1-800-922-1888 or visit connectionradio.org. And thank you for your support.
And make the connection.
Examine the disagreement of two major figures in the early church and how that disagreement was settled next time. So I hope you'll join us for the conclusion of this study here on The Connection, a presentation of Connection Communications, connecting you to God's never-changing truth in ever-changing times.